Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 8:06.
Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
14 straight wins for the Bucks after yesterday's nice win, grinded out win. Playoff-esque feel to that victory over the Phoenix Suns yesterday. No Giannis, no Kevin Durant. Still a very good game. And another incredible performance from Jrue Holiday. A lot to get to about Jrue Holiday. You heard in the news there from Finn, there's no official release from the Bucks yet, but the indications are that Mark Lazary, as it's being reported by The Athletic and other sources now, is close to an agreement or has an agreement to sell his stake in the Bucks. The big piece of news there is the $3.5 billion valuation on this franchise. Think about that. And look, a lot of this has to do with availability and what is up for sale. But the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks, second most valuable franchise in the NBA based on that valuation, is astounding. If you go back 10 years ago to say, hey, this is a $3.5 billion team.
He wasn't quite 50%, was he?
No, he's about 25%.
So that's putting the Bucks over $10 billion?
No. So the Bucks, the valuation is for the entire franchise. So three and a half is what they're worth. So his stake of that $3.5 billion,
25% of $3.5 billion.
Right. So it's about $875 million, something along those lines. I know there's a lot of fretting, panic, and concern over what this potential change in at least part of the ownership means. It's way too early. We don't know any of the details. We don't know about the governor role, if it changes at all. I've seen a lot of panic. It is way too early for that. Relax. There's other things to worry about for the time being. So as we get more news, obviously, we will keep you up to date on that and report that. But it does appear as though Jimmy Haslam, who is most famous for owning the Cleveland Browns, is going to be a partial owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. And an odd time, too, to come basically three-quarters of the way through the season in a season where this team once again looks primed to win an NBA championship. But we started the show talking about 14 straight wins for this Bucks team. They go for 15 in a row tomorrow in Brooklyn against the Nets. And it got you to thinking of, I mentioned this a couple of times on the broadcast yesterday, 14 straight wins for the Bucks. It's the longest win streak the NBA has seen since last season, when the Phoenix Suns won 18 straight games very, very early. I think it was like their third or fourth game of the season when they went on this 18-game win streak. But it's the longest win streak we have seen since then. You go for 15 in a row tomorrow against the Brooklyn Nets, and here's another piece of good news. The initial injury report is submitted for both the Bucks and the Nets. No surprise here. Ben Simmons will not play in this game. But for the Bucks, Wesley Matthews is out, and we heard that from Coach Budenholzer in his media availability yesterday, that this was a little bit more than a day-to-day thing for Wesley Matthews. They were hopeful it wasn't going to be anything severe and long-term, but he did say Wes is not going to play on Tuesday either. Giannis, the right quad contusion. He knocked knees early in that game Friday night against the Miami Heat, left after 6 minutes of work. Giannis is probable for this game tomorrow. So every time you think this guy is going to miss some time, he's indestructible, is what we're starting to see here. So this team keeps on winning. Giannis keeps on taking that punishment and keeps coming back. And a good chance to push this win streak up to 15. It's a Brooklyn Nets team, obviously different now with no Kevin Durant, no Kyrie Irving, no Ben Simmons, no James Harden. He's long gone. It is a frisky team. They are going to be tough defensively.
Cam Thomas.
You would be a Cam Thomas guy.
He's got a great name.
Is it a two first names case again?
Well, Thomas, Thomas.
Cam's not very common, but sure. Cam Thomas does a lot of the scoring. Mikal Bridges has already had this breakout performance, a 45-point game very early into his tenure. They got a lot of defenders with Mikal Bridges, with Dorian Finney-Smith, and when Ben Simmons is healthy, with him out there. So they present different challenges than they did before. But it's an interesting point of the schedule there. Here, I should say, the Nets tomorrow night, the Orlando Magic. And some of us, some being me, have been banging this drum for a while. Do not rule out the Orlando Magic to get into the play-in tournament. But you got back-to-back games, and that's kind of going to be the theme of the week for the Bucks. Back-to-backs. Back-to-back games against the Magic and Brooklyn Nets. Nets and Magic in that order. And then you get 2 days off. You think, okay, great. And then you get back-to-back games again. The 76ers, a huge matchup. We'll preview that towards the end of the show on Saturday night in Milwaukee. And then on the road in D.C. against the Wizards on Sunday night. And then the following week, two more games, not back-to-back this time, but two more games against the Nets and the Orlando Magic. So a very, very interesting stretch of scheduling here for the Bucks. But they just keep winning, and they may get a double dose of help tonight as we are keeping our eye on two games in action right now involving the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. One of those will be done momentarily here. So we will keep you up to speed on that and whether or not the Bucks have added more separation between themselves and the Sixers and possibly even moved into the one spot in the Eastern Conference. We'll get to that a little bit later on the show. And, oh, by the way, I do want to get to one other thing as well. This was an interesting weekend for Jay Crowder. The homecoming weekend where he's back in Milwaukee. He went to the Marquette game, got to see his old school in action, and his first two games in a Bucks uniform were against the two teams he most recently played for, the opposing coaches for the Miami Heat and Phoenix Suns. I don't know how else to put this other than the vibes from Eric Spoelstra and Monty Williams when it came to Jay Crowder could not have been any more different. One was borderline icy, and I think you know which one that was. We'll discuss that as well. But up next, we hand things off to Gale Klappa as his conversation this week is with Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer, courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that conversation between Gale Klappa and Mike Budenholzer comes your way next on Bucks Weekly.
Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left. So the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, it don't come easy. And deep into the fourth quarter on Sunday, it didn't look good. The Bucks down by 8. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Phoenix Suns on a roll. But down the stretch, the Bucks defense flipped the script. And Drew Holiday, Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton found just enough offense to pull out a heart-pounding win. So the streak continues. Now 14 victories in a row for the Bucks. It's the longest winning streak this season in the NBA. Tonight, we'll check the pulse in the locker room. We'll look to the challenge ahead as the Bucks battle for supremacy in the East. Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mike Budenholzer. Coach, thanks for sitting down with us here on Courtside. Always great to visit with you.
Yeah, happy to be with you guys. It's good to join the show again.
Well, Coach, looking back to Sunday, the battle against the Suns had the intensity and feel of the playoffs. And we saw what the Bucks defense could look like at crunch time with Joe Ingles and newly acquired Jay Crowder on the court. Tell us, if you will, about your thinking as you sent those two veterans into play for the closing minutes.
Yeah, you know, we're excited about, you know, how we've added to the team and the depth of the roster. You know, John Horst does a phenomenal job. of giving us, you know, as much versatility, as much talent, as much depth as he can. And, you know, it was that group had a good thing going. You know, we got down eight, like you said, and they were able to flip it. You know, Jay with a couple of big corner threes, and Joe, you know, feeding Drew underneath the basket for a layup. You know, and then the defense just getting a lot of stops to crawl out of an 8-point deficit. So, you know, happy for the whole team, but you know, it's great to see. You know, two. You know, Joe's been with us all year, but couldn't play till Christmas time, and now Jay. You know, see how those two guys can fit and contribute to us winning.
And coach, as you mentioned, Jay Crowder joined the Bucks. Big trade just before the All-Star break. He hadn't played all season until coming to Milwaukee, but coach, he sure looks like he's in rhythm and in mid-season form. Has that surprised you at all?
You know, for a guy to, you know, not play for as long as it's been for Jay, and you know, he really Friday against Miami and Sunday against Phoenix just, you know, really looked like himself and looked comfortable. And, you know, he just does a lot of little things that add up to winning. And, you know, I guess I could say he rolls out of bed knowing how to win, you know, and that's making plays on both ends of the court. And so, you know, I think he's a pro. We've seen him do a lot of really good things for other teams over the last years. And so now I would just say I'm excited that he's doing it for us. And then he's doing it so quickly and early in his arrival here.
And, coach, we sure would be remiss if we didn't comment a bit about Drew Holiday. Drew, of course, scored 33 in the win over Phoenix, and he made the key defensive play with just a few ticks left on the clock. For our listeners, how about comment and walk us through that play, if you will?
Yeah, no, I mean, Drew has a knack, and you know, those are two of the league's great players. You know, Devin Booker isolated on the wing, and Drew Holiday, one of the great defenders in our league. You know, and it just sometimes it comes down to those matchups. And, you know, in this particular case, you know, Drew was able to get his hands on the ball and knock it loose from Booker as he drove to the basket and got to the paint. And, you know, we were able to get a big turnover and a big steal, you know, basically with the game on the line. And it's a big credit to Drew. And, you know, he's done this for us often and in the biggest moments. And, you know, he came through again on Sunday.
I know early on you and I have had conversations, and you mentioned that you've always been – pushing is probably too strong a word, but you've always been asking Drew to be more aggressive on offense. Are you finding that he's really stepping up on offense, particularly this year with the number of the key players out?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that's been a silver lining, you know, with some of the injuries and Chris missing, you know, a significant amount of time to start the season. And, you know, Giannis has missed a couple of games here recently. And, you know, and Drew's missed some time too. But when Drew has played and you know, he's, I think, just done what the team needs. You know, Drew, I think, feel like, you know, you just – you know, if you ask him, he just says, I'm going to do whatever it takes for us to win. And I think he naturally, you know, feels that, you know, there's a need for him to do a little bit more offensively, you know, when someone's missing. And now I think he's got a good rhythm. And I think we can have, you know, everybody, you know, when Chris and Giannis and Drew are all healthy, you know, they all have a balance. They all trust each other. And we need contributions from everybody. And but I think Drew is really a silver lining has been, you know, how he's kind of asserted himself offensively so far this year.
Interesting. And, coach, of course, Giannis did not play in the Phoenix game. Looks like he's recovering from maybe at least a couple of injuries. Coach, for our listeners, if you will, level set us on the condition of his right wrist and his right leg.
Yeah, they're both doing well. You know, I think we'll see how he feels against Brooklyn on Tuesday, and you know, I think we're hopeful that he'll be available and play. But you know, with both injuries, you just kind of got to check in as you approach the game and get closer to game time. And you know, again, I think we're hopeful, and you know, I think he's listed as probable for the game. So you know, we'll see as we get closer to tip.
Coach, you've been around the game for a long time. Honestly, have you ever seen anyone with the healing powers that Giannis seems to have?
Yeah. No, I honestly haven't. You know, there's lots of things that I think Giannis does that are, you know, kind of beyond comprehension and very unique. And but I do think we do talk about it sometimes, but his ability to recover from injury and come back and miss very, very little time and to be available. And, you know, I think LeBron James was quoted, you know, when he just recently passed the scoring mark, that one of his, you know, I think the thing he takes the most pride in is being available. And, you know, Giannis is just, you know, I think very similar and amazing how quickly he heals and how often he's available for his teammates. And we're incredibly fortunate, and we don't want to test that that ability too often, but you know, it's certainly been you know, something that's been impressive and hard to you know, believe from up close.
And we'll have more with Coach Butter in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gale Klappa with the head coach of the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer.
Coach, there's another new player on the Bucks roster, Myers Leonard, a veteran big man, 7-foot center, signed to a 10-day contract and maybe longer. Tell us how he's a fit for this team.
Yeah, we've been really impressed by Myers, you know, in just the short time he's been with us. And, you know, the fit, you know, as a you know, a 7-footer, you know, he may be even 7'1". You know, with great size, you know, he brings a physicality. There's also an athleticism that he has, and then an ability to make threes and spread the court. And so, you know, he possesses a lot of the characteristics that, you know, we look for as we kind of piece our team together and know what fits best around, you know, our best players and the way we play. And you know, he checks a lot of boxes, and he's come here and done that. And, you know, he's played in both games, and he's helped us in both games that he's been here, and he's been good in practice. He's vocal. He's played with a few of our guys before. And, you know, there's just a ton of positives around Myers, and, you know, we're looking forward to him, you know, helping us. And like you said, you know, we feel like there's a great fit, and maybe there's a fit for him, you know, as we finish this season.
And Coach, I know from the comments he's made publicly that he is incredibly grateful to the Bucks organization for giving him a second chance.
Yeah, no, he comes here with a great heart and a great mindset. And, you know, I think, you know, he's done a lot of work in the community to, you know, understand, you know, mistakes that he's made in the past and make amends and grow and learn from them. And then health-wise, you know, same thing. He's, you know, I think his body, he's had a couple of surgeries and able to get himself healthy and right physically and mentally. And, you know, I think, and he's just, he comes here and he's been incredibly grateful and, you know, hardworking and a lot of things that we're about. I've been very, very impressed with Myers Leonard.
That's great to hear. And, Coach, I'd like to get your take on another player who doesn't get a lot of notoriety, but he's clearly made an impact from the day he came to the Bucks as a free agent last year, Javon Carter.
Yeah, Javon is, you know, really, I think, grown as a player. You know, I think we feel fortunate that we're able to get him. You know, about this time last year, and he finished and did a lot of things well for us as we finished the season last year. You know, committed to each other early in free agency. He worked really hard all summer, and you know, he's just a guy that's growing. You know, his defense, I think, is something that is always there. He's very, very disruptive and does a lot of things to positively impact the game on the defensive end. And he's growing on the offensive end. He's just, you know, he's shooting the ball really, really well this year and embracing, you know, playing off the ball and catch and shoot situations and being a ball handler and a backup point guard. And, you know, he's just fit in with us really well and taking advantage of his opportunities. And, and earned his teammates' trust and earned the coach's trust, and you know, really, really just impressed by Javon.
Well, Coach, switching gears for a second, we're now literally 60 games into the 82-game season, and one statistic, at least to me, really stands out. There's been only one game, you're probably very aware of this, Coach, there's been only one game this season when you've had a full roster available to play. Just wondering, in all your years of coaching, have you been through a season with this many injuries to key players and this deep in the season without having a full roster?
Yeah, I mean, we all get, I think, a little bit, you know, we know what's right in front of us and we know what we're living today and maybe yesterday, and so it feels, I don't remember a season like this, you know, but I think that, you know, injuries are a part of our league and part of our sport. And so, you know, I think the team has dealt with it, you know, in a very, you know, good way. And there's been some silver linings with managing, you know, all the different injuries and lineups and different things like that. So, you know, we don't dwell on it much. I think you can't worry about it. You got to take the players that are available and keep working and rehabbing the guys that are injured. And, you know, just do the best with what you got. And, you know, that's what our team has done. And really the whole league has to do something similar. It's rare when, you know, there's just, you have the whole roster, you know, for all the year, but, certainly this one has been as trying or as difficult as any that I can remember.
Oh, I can about imagine, Coach. And thinking about this team, Coach, is this team the deepest and most versatile in your 5 years here in Milwaukee, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it now with adding Jay, you know, at the trade deadline without really touching our kind of main rotation guys. And, you know, now adding Myers and, you know, getting guys healthy. You know, I think, like I said earlier in the show, John Horst and the front office do an amazing job. And I think every year they've put together a deep team, a versatile roster that can go different directions. And I love the team that we've got this year. But, you know, I would say the same thing about, you know, every year. John does an amazing job. He puts together a great roster, and we try and maximize it. And that's what we got to do this year.
We'll have more with Coach Bud right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Plapa with Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer.
Coach, Brooke Lopez was our guest a few weeks ago here on Courtside, and he had just returned from Disney World, taking his last ride on Splash Mountain, you know, before that iconic ride was closed for good. He told us, you know, about the big speech he prepared for you to convince you to let him go midseason and leave the team for a couple of days. I'd love to hear your side of that conversation.
Well, I don't know if I would use the phrase speech, but he definitely came to me. I could tell it was something that was very important to him. I'm trying to remember if it was in my office or after a game. I think he came to my office and, you know, in a very respectful and a way that let me know how important it was to him that, you know, if this day, whatever day it was that he wanted to go, was going to be an off day, he would like to go to Orlando, and they were shutting the ride down and he wanted one last ride on it. And if that would be okay. And, without hesitation, I said, Brooke, you can do whatever you want. You're my guy. And, so he could have had a lot less anxiety and known, that, you know, I feel like, I guess at heart, I'm the coach of the Bucks, but I'm a fan of the Bucks, and I don't think anybody's done more for the Bucks in the last 5 years or done anything more for me than Brooke Lopez. So, you know, he's got a free pass to Orlando in the middle of the season from the coach. And, It was a lot of fun. He and I have had some good laughs about it. And it was one day. He missed one day. Because I was like, then I started thinking about his travel plan. I'm like, okay, are you leaving after the Cleveland game? And then you'll fly back. And I wanted to be sure we were minimizing, you know, his travel and making it the most, you know, where he was ready to play the next game. And he assured me that he was. And I said, have a great time. And he did. It's been a good laugh for us, you know, each day or whenever we bring it up. It's been a good thing.
And Coach, you were right. I mean, getting that last ride on Splash Mountain was really an emotional deal for Brooke.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, for those people that don't know, but I mean, it's really something that he's passionate about. It means a lot to him, and you can feel it. So it's great when people have, you know, their hobbies and their interests and things that they get them excited, and that's what one of the things that does it for Brooke.
And Brooke did tell me, Coach, that he feels like he owes you big time now. So we talked about the return favor might have something to do with a round of golf for you at Augusta National. Your thoughts?
Well, I would take that anytime it's on the if it's on the negotiation table, it's or on the options table, it's at the top of my list. But I might find another, you know, way for Brooks to, if he feels like he owes me something, I might have to ask him for. But I don't think he's a golfer, so for him to figure out Augusta could be tough. But he's a smart guy, so you never know. Maybe he can line it up. So, but he's actually, well, for me, I'm still in debt to him. If truth be told.
Well, if you win another championship, you'll be in debt for a long time, Coach.
For sure.
Well, finally, Coach, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the 76ers seem to be the cream of the crop in the East this year. Going down the stretch, how do you think we stack up against those two rivals?
Well, they're very good. You know, the quality of the rosters, the quality of their players, the depth, you know, they're the guys, you know, coming off the bench, they're superstars. Both teams, you know, we have a ton of respect for. You know, they're built a little differently, so you know, you're going to have to beat them both probably. And you know, they're very different, and you know, it's I think exciting for fans in the East. And you know, I think the depth of the East is still, you know, very good. And you know, Cleveland's been impressive, and you know, Brooklyn, I think, is going to find a fight to them, and New York, the way they're playing right now, and Atlanta, you know, with Quinn Snyder, who's somebody that I really respect coming in as the coach, and, you know, you go down the list, it's in Miami, you know, they're always really, really strong, and so, you know, I think the playoffs in the Eastern Conference is going to be a great battle, and, you know, we have a lot of respect for everybody in the East, and you're going to have to earn everything you get as you work your way through the playoffs.
And Coach, switching from the East to the West, with the trade that the Phoenix Suns made to get Kevin Durant, and with the way they played against us Sunday, when Kevin Durant comes back, the Phoenix Suns are going to be something to be reckoned with, I assume.
Oh yeah, you know, that's a, you know, that's a kind of like a big NBA mover shaker. When a player of Kevin Durant's, you know, status, you know, changes teams, and you combine him with Devin Booker and Chris Paul and, you know, Monty Williams as the coach and the success and, you know, they're kind of just, you know, they're a championship level team, and they've just added, you know, one of the top players in our league. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating, you know, to see how the West shapes up and plays out. And, you know, Phoenix is that's a big move, in our league, and you know, it's going to be competitive for all the teams in the West, and what makes our league, you know, exciting and great, hopefully, for the fans and for everybody to follow. And there's a lot of parity, there's a lot of teams that feel like they can win a championship, and you know, I think that's when the NBA is at its best.
And Coach, as always, we appreciate your time. Great to visit with you again, and you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, we mentioned the injury report for tomorrow's game between the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Giannis is probable. Wesley Matthews is out. Ben Simmons is out for the Nets. So there's one piece of good news, but I did promise. But well, I don't know if promise is the right word, but I said potentially we could have even more good news. And we got a piece of that just a couple of moments ago as you were engrossed in the conversation with Gail Klappa and Mike Budenholzer. And that is, in Philadelphia, the Miami Heat hold off the 76ers 101-99. So Philadelphia is now 39-20 on the season. So the 76ers, I've mentioned this quite a few times, have the most difficult or had the most difficult remaining schedule second half of the season. They've had a pretty tough go at it to open up this post-All-Star break run. The Memphis Grizzlies, which they won, then they lost to the Celtics in that improbable finish Saturday night. And now they lose to the Miami Heat. They got another game with the Miami Heat later on this week. But I mentioned that record for the 76ers, 39-21, I beg your pardon. So they are four games behind the Bucks.
If the Sixers, let's say hypothetically, were to fall to the four seed, Cleveland is able to pass them up, would you rather Milwaukee be the one or the two seed still? It's a lot of silence.
Well,
for matchup purposes.
Yeah, I know what you're doing. I hate hypothetical questions, for one. I don't think, not to be the wet blanket and spoil your hypothetical question, I don't think the Cavaliers are going to catch them.
Well, Philly has the toughest remaining second half schedule, we said, right?
A lot of that was front loaded, so it's already started to, they're now at the midpoint. I'll pull it up momentarily here, but Cleveland is just, something hasn't looked right with the Cleveland Cavaliers here. And not only that, when you look at the standings here, the Cavs are already four back in the loss column. So,
to Philly?
Yes. That's a lot.
That's a lot with 20 games.
With 20-ish games left, and with the Cavaliers, they've already played 64 games, so 18 games left. Four is a lot to make up. So I don't think Cleveland is going to catch Philadelphia. The biggest thing to keep an eye on, I think, is can the Knicks catch the Cavaliers? And is that going to be your 4-5 matchup? The other piece of potentially good news for the Bucks is the Boston Celtics are losing by 13 in New York to those Knicks right now, 102-89 with about 4 minutes left. So if Boston loses that game, they'll be 44-18. Their win percentage will drop to 709. The Bucks are 43-17 with a 717 win percentage. In other words, the Bucks will be in first place in the Eastern Conference via win percentage if the Knicks can hold off the Celtics for the final 4 minutes. And not only that, you not only be in first place, you have a four-game lead on the 76ers. And I said this yesterday on Buck Shootaround. I think that game Saturday night that the Celtics won against the 76ers, you approached that game, I think a lot of us saying, oh man, who do you even root for here? I think maybe you want the 76ers to win because then it'll pull the Bucks even with them. No, you want the Celtics to win because it goes a long way. And instead of making it a triple threat match, it's just a standard one-on-one. You're taking one of those combatants out of it. Push the 76ers further away, make this just the Bucks and the Celtics. And I don't think Philly's going to slide down there, so I think it's even more imperative. You keep winning this thing, and you get that one seed. Bucks still have three games left against the Celtics and Sixers, three total games. They're all in Milwaukee. The first is this Saturday against Philadelphia. We'll preview that one. And I mentioned Jay Crowder and his interesting homecoming weekend. I want to get to the comments that Eric Spoelstra and Monty Williams made about Jay Crowder about 40 hours apart. I haven't seen either of these pregame availabilities being posted on either of the two teams' websites, but I do have the transcripts. Take transcripts of the opposing coach and a bud before every game. meticulous notes of what Eric Spoelstra and then Monty Williams said. We'll give you those comments and what stood out the most after this on Bucks Talk. We were just looking at the strength of schedule remaining here. Tommy, you still think this is doable for the Cavs to catch the 76ers?
So it's got
to
be on the radar.
Four games that the difference is. You can look at the standings. It'll show you it's two, but four in the loss column. You can't erase losses. You can always add wins, but those losses are there. So it's four back. They've split two games so far. They play again on the 15th of March. That will determine the tiebreaker. So if Philly wins that,
then it's probably over.
It's five games, and yeah, it's done. Unless the Cavaliers go 17-1, and that one loss is to Philadelphia, but it's not a lot of time to make up that difference here. Philadelphia still has, it's going to be a fluid thing here. Philadelphia, after this game today, still has the most difficult schedule remaining. Opponent winning percentage in those remaining games that Philly has, 22 games left. And remember, they were one of three teams in the second half that had 25 games. 531. They're the only team whose opponents have won 53% of their games, remaining opponents. So I still think the biggest move potentially is the Knicks getting to the four seed. But you can't rule it out just yet that Cleveland, they have the second easiest schedule left, could potentially catch the 76ers for third. And to your point, that changes everything then. All the planning of, well, if you win the East, you have the best record. Well, if all of a sudden you get that, and oh, now you do get the 76ers in the second round, and it's the Celtics that have a little bit of an easier path. No disrespect to teams like the Cavaliers or Knicks, whoever it is, but it's the Celtics who have an easier path.
And, well, and you definitely want the home field, the home court. I get that. And
yes,
it's definitely played a role. Like, look at even at the West. I mean, even the top teams are much better teams at home than on the road. It's the same in the East, too, right now.
I'll say this. Yes, but I don't think home court advantage really matters.
You just got to win one.
Yeah, and look, you could make the case, and we talked about this yesterday, of, well, what if Game 7 was at home last year? Does it go differently? Maybe. But it also kind of felt like the Bucks were just out of gas with no Chris Middleton and everything they had to do defensively to get to that point. So who knows? Maybe that does. They're a very good team at home, but I don't know that home court advantage really matters. I do want to get to this, though. I mentioned Jay Crowder's weekend. So Friday night, Heat were in town, and one of the first questions to Eric Spoelstra was, hey, Bucks signed Jay Crowder. What do you think Jay Crowder is going to bring to the team? And here was Eric Spoelstra's quote as I transcribed Friday evening. I'm a big fan of Jay. I wish he would have stayed out west, but it's a good fit for Milwaukee. He's very similar to how we talked about Kevin Love and some of the things that he's going to bring as a veteran. He knows how to play, and he knows how to fit any scheme, any team that he's with. We hated him. We respectfully hated playing against him. He was one of those guys you hated to go against, but as soon as he came to Miami, we realized he was one of us. We love him. It's a good fit. Also had very glowing things to say about Myers Leonard as well. But that was Eric Spoelstra's comment about, hey, Jay Crowder's great. He's going to fit in great with you guys. I love him. I wish he was still in Miami. He was one of us, as Jay Crowder, or as Eric Spoelstra said. Fast forward to Sunday. Monty Williams of the Phoenix Suns. A lot has been bandied about with Jay Crowder's exit from Phoenix, and he has said there are some things that went on, maybe haven't been discussed behind the scenes. We being him and the Suns, both agreed not to bring that public. They did me a solid by moving me. I'm going to do them a solid by not bringing that public. Here's what Monty Williams said. Jay's a versatile player. He brought defensive versatility and ability to knock down the outside shot. He's a physical defender, good communicator on the floor. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. The way he delivered that line, something is still there between Monty Williams and Jay Crowder. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. So far, it has gone great for the Bucks, who, again, are 2 minutes away from moving back into first place in the Eastern Conference. Tomorrow night in Brooklyn, Bucks and the Nets. That game is a 6:30 tip-off, and as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow night on Bucks Talk.